Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, in a little while, you will see me." And the question is, how long is a little while? For a little child, when he is told that he cannot go into the swimming pool for a little while till after he's eaten his lunch, a little while can seem like a long time. For a man who has become ill, to be told that it will not be for a little while before he starts feeling better, that little while can be a long time. A woman who is told that in a little while she must undergo surgery and receive chemotherapy treatments, for her that little while seems to go at lightning speed. The setting for our gospel this morning is the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus has humbled himself, become the servant, washing his disciples' feet. He says, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." During the course of the Passover meal, Jesus says, "One of you will betray me," but they do not understand. Repeated throughout the course of the evening, Jesus tells them that he is about to leave them, little children. "Yet a little while I am with you. Where I am going, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot follow me. But you will follow me afterward." But they do not understand. "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus says, "I go, and I go to prepare a place for you. You know where I am going, but they do not understand." "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus says, "I am going away, and I will come back to you. I am going to the Father, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." But they do not understand. Once again, Jesus says to them, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, in a little while, you will see me." And once again, they do not understand. What is this that he says to us, "A little while and you will not see me again, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father"? Huh? So they were saying, what does he mean by "a little while"? We do not know what he is talking about. And so the shepherd sees his confused and frightened little sheep. And he knows that this is the question that is eating away at them. What is the definition of "a little while"? How long is a little while? If they only knew how long a little while lasts, then maybe they could deal with it. Then they could control it. Then they could make their way through it, and they could wait and be patient. But patience and waiting is hard to do if you don't know how long a little while lasts. The psalmist cries out to the Lord, "O Lord, how long? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" The martyrs who died because of their testimony to Jesus Christ and whose souls are under the altars in heaven cry out with a loud voice, "O Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" I know a woman in an assisted living center, and I know a woman in an Alzheimer's care unit who cry out, "How long, O Lord, before I can die? How long, O Lord, before I can go home?" But Jesus doesn't define a little while in terms of the amount of time that a little while takes. A little while is not something that you can set your watch to. A little while is not like a missile launch with a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7. A little while is not something that you can manage. It is not something that you can control. The way that Jesus defines a little while is the experience of weeping and lamentation and sorrow and pain that is in comparison to what comes after it. Let me repeat that. The way that Jesus defines a little while, it is the experience of weeping and lamentation and sorrow and pain in comparison to what comes after it. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. In other words, a little while may seem like a long time. It may even seem like a forever when you're in the midst of it. But when that which follows comes, all the weeping and the sorrow, and all of the heartache and all of the pain, will seem like a little while in comparison. This is what St. Paul is pointing us to when he writes to the Romans, and he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Luther has this to say, "Here on earth, Christians experience an ever-recurring alternation of a little while and again a little while. Now it is a dark night. Soon it is day again. Therefore, the lamenting does not last forever, even though it seems and feels that way when we are in the midst of it. But even though we cannot see or determine the end, Christ has already done so. He points out to us in advance that we must bear this suffering, no matter how bad and unpleasant the devil makes it. Even though we do not see the end, we must wait for him who says, 'I will put an end to it,' and will again comfort you and give you joy." Here is the way that Jesus Christ has opened up through life for all those who will follow him. It is the way that leads to joy, but it leads through the cross and not apart from it. For Jesus, the little while of weeping and great sorrow and suffering was just about to begin. He sweat drops of blood in anticipation of the bitter agony that would be unleashed on him in a little while. The treatment that the Lord and Creator of the world would receive at the hands of those whom he came to save would make the treatment of the Boston bomber who came to maim and kill, the treatment that he is receiving, seem like the royal treatment. Publicly mocked and ridiculed, his flesh torn open with whip and nails and spear, hunger and thirst, heartbreak over the betrayal of unfaithful friends, and worst of all, the desertion of God the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He does not understand. And his little while would not end until death itself had closed every last door of escape. How long it must have seemed to him that his little while lasted. How slowly the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days go by when we are in distress. And the deeper our distress, the slower a little while seems to go. Brothers and sisters, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Here in the upper room, Jesus then is not concerned with himself. He knows the outcome of his little while. He goes to it steadfastly, unflinching. He knows the victory that he will win for his disciples, that he will win for his disciples of every time and every place, because he loves them. He knows that the victory that he will win for them and that will make all of the suffering and the sorrow and the pain and the agony that they experience in this world seem like a little while in comparison to the surpassing greatness of his throwing open the gates to paradise that had been closed and his leading his beloved flock into the sheepfold, where that cycle of a little while followed by again a little while is once and for all broken. Little while leads to an eternal while, where all of the sorrow and the suffering and the pain and the distress and the lamenting is gone forever. And joy begins and never ends. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So here in the upper room, Jesus is concerned solely for his disciples. Their faith is weak. They are easily confused. They do not understand. They cannot see past their little wiles to the other side, where the victory that he has won for them is awaiting them. A little while and you will not see me. Jesus is going to be taken from them. They will be like little children separated from their parents in a big department store, panicked, afraid, confused. And the world will only confuse their confusion all the more. You will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. The world will say, a great thing has happened here. Now, a new way has been opened for us to go through life, a new way that does not involve the cross. There are ways to go around the cross and move through life and never experience those little whiles of suffering and pain and lamenting. Do you desire sexual intimacy? No need to wait a little while anymore. You can put an end to your little while when you say it should end. Are you pregnant but you don't want to be? No need to suffer and sacrifice your goals for a little while. You can put an end to your little while when you say it should end. Are you tired of being sick and in pain and depressed? No need to weep and lament for a little while. You can put an end to your little while when you say it should end. Which of us hasn't had our own ever-recurring alternation of a little while and again a little while? Which of us is content to say, Lord, my times are in your hands. Following both our Lord's instruction and his example, then, we must learn that when our little whiles come, we are not to think about how we can get out of them or end them. Our loving Lord will bring the end in his own time. We need only be faithful and be patient and wait for the Lord. We are to have patience that is based on the sure and certain hope that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And the victory that he has won for us will make our time of tears and sorrow seem like a little while by comparison. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has turned the wisdom of this world on its head. He directs us to go the way of the cross, saying, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And to all those who reject the way of the cross and go the way of glory, he says, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall weep and mourn." St. Peter, who was so confused during those 3 days while Jesus was absent from him, was then led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. I want you to listen carefully. In fact, I want you to read along with me, if you will, what Peter has to say to the church who lives in a world that has little patience for its little wiles. It does not want any part of sorrow and suffering, even for a little while. It is only after immediate gratification. Read with me in the insert or in your pew Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to this great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Great words. If you're going to memorize a passage of Scripture this week, write it on your hearts and your minds. That'd be a good one. The setting for our gospel reading this morning is the upper room in Jerusalem. What difference do you think it would have made for the disciples if they knew what you and I already know? That their little while of sorrow and suffering would last only 3 days, no more, and would be followed by the victory of all victories, in which they themselves would be included. You see, we know more than they did. They did not understand, but we do. "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while you will see me. Your sorrow will be turned to joy, and no one will take your joy from you." Amen.